It was just a continuous drive down. And I felt in good spirits. I felt in high spirits. I was well rested from the night before. And we spent a delightful day, and I knew I could drive from the White Mountains down to Portsmouth, so I didn't stop. I didn't feel too tired. But that's puzzling because vaguely, I could remember a red glow in the highway, and I always thought someone was doing something like that flagging me down. Doctor, you mean like swinging a lantern? Barney, number, no. Well yes if he had had a lantern in his hand. Doctor, well, that would have given a red glow, wouldn't it? Barney, no the glow wasn't coming from an object in his hand. Doctor, I see from somewhere else. Barney, the glow was just a large glow. I thought, oh, my God, it can't be in the daytime. Doctor, you had a pretty large moon that night, didn't you? Barney, oh, I thought about the moon. LLUT the thing was right there on the highway. I could never seem to understand. L have looked for that spot, and L looked for it. I said, now, how can the moon be on the HIGHWN, that KINDOF position? And I could never seem to find any terrain up there that would fit what I sort of dimly remembered. 1L1 is thing / was sitting there was like and I kept remembering this man flagging me down. And then I sort of don't remember. And now I remember. 210, doctor, all right, then we'll continue next Saturday. I'll talk to Betty for a while now. Barney, all right. Barney's part of the session had come to an end. For the first time, the things he had forgotten were beginning to come back into his conscious mind. Betty, too, would be permitted to recall those things that would not trouble her after her session on that same day. But still the questions remained unanswered, and an ultimate solution to the puzzle seemed quite distant. Chapter 9 The session of March 2 1 continued, after the discussion with Barney, and Betty was brought back into the room. Betty went into the trance again quickly and easily, as usual. Again, the instructions were given to recall not only the details of what happened, but the feelings Betty experienced about these details. Doctor, Betty is now fully in trance. Now, I want to ask you about your experiences when you thought you were taken aboard this flying object. When you sighted this thing, Barney saw men in the object at the time of the air sighting with his binoculars. Did you see any men? Betty, this is when he got out and walked toward it? She is referring to Till's Indian Head portion of Till's experience. Doctor, yes. You never saw any men in this object? BTTY, no. I didn't. Doctor, he described them to you, did he? 212, Betty, yes. Doctor, how did he describe them? Betty, he said they were wearing uniforms. He thought they were uniforms. And he said that their leader looked down at him and frightened him. And there was another man and it looked as if they were pulling levers in the wall in back of the leader. Doctor, this wasn't later that he told you this? It was at that time, was it? Betty, no. Not at that moment. Doctor, was it at some time after you got home? Betty, it was after we got home. Doctor, at the time, he didn't tell you anything about it? Betty, no. He didn't. Doctor, well, go on. Betty, he did say that they, I had the idea that there was someone, he must have seen someone, even though he didn't say so. Because he kept saying, they are going to capture us. Doctor, I see. Betty, he didn't say it was going to. 213, doctor. He was quite frightened, then? Betty, yes. Doctor, and you were frightened? Betty, no, I don't think so. Not at that time. I was more curious and interested. And I had the feeling of being sort of helpless. That something was going to happen, and I didn't have too much control over it. But I wasn't really afraid. I guess I was looking forward to it. Doctor, you were looking forward to something happening? Betty, yes. Doctor, what sort of thing did you look forward to happening? Betty, I didn't know what was going to happen. Doctor, a new experience? Betty, huh? Doctor, now, when you were supposedly on board, and you say he put this needle into your navel.
Betty, yes.
Doctor, was there any blood?
BTTY, not to my knowledge.
To you, Doctor, did you find anything after you were home to indicate something had been put into your navel?
Betty, I don't remember looking.
Doctor, you didn't think of looking?
Betty, number doctor, so you wouldn't know.
And now there is no indication, I take it?
Betty, I don't think so.
Doctor, when the leader was talking to you, he spoke in English, you said, and yet he seemed to be of foreign origin.
Betty, yes.
Doctor, and he didn't know a good many things.
Betty, and he had an accent.
Doctor, and he had an accent.
Are you familiar with the accent?
German?
French?
Japanese?
Some other?
Betty, no, I don't know what kind it was.
One of the men had a worse accent than the leader.
Doctor, did you ask these people their names?
Betty, number 215.
Doctor, why not?
Betty, I didn't think of it. They didn't ask me my name, either. But I kept saying Biani's name, so they knew this.
Doctor, and you and Biani did not talk about these experiences afterward?
Betty, right afterward?
Doctor, well, at any time.
You did say, I believe, that you didn't talk about it on the way home.
Betty, no.
We didn't.
Doctor, but you did tell it to him afterwards, did you?
Betty, well, when I had the dreams, I told him, I was having nightmares, well not really nightmares, but strange dreams. But I didn't tell him about my dreams at that time.
And then, when Mr. Hoffman and Mr. Jackson came to the house, and we were trying to recall one thing, it was Mr. Hoffman asked us why the trip took so long to come home. And that's when I said that I remembered about the moon being on, Doctor, the ground.
Is this that big yellow object, or light, you saw?
Betty, MHMRN. It was just like a big moon. And it was on the ground. I could see sort of right through the trees in front of us.
Doctor, you Arnie heard you describe all THSE things, I suppose, eh?
BETTY, WELL, when they said, what took so long?
WHAT took so long.
LLUT then, I said, we didn't care now, I started to THINK about the moon being 216, on the ground. And I mentioned seeing it.
And Biani said, yes.
I saw it too.
Then we thought that we should check and see, try to find out what time the moon set that night, to see if it were the moon, or what it was.
And, when we were talking about this, I got quite upset. I don't know if I showed this or not when this happened, I thought, of my dreams. And I thought, well, maybe there was some basis to the dreams I'd been having. Maybe this is what took us so long.
Doctor, now your dreams, Betty,
yes.
Doctor, were they the things that happened in this experience you thought you had had?
The dreams were of being placed aboard this vehicle?
Betty, the dreams were something like it, but not.
There were still a lot of differences.
Betty goes on to recount the story of how she told her supervisor, who suggested that this might have happened, might have been the dream of an actual experience.
Doctor, referring to Betty's supervisor.
She is the one who said this actually might have happened to you?
Betty, yes.
She said this must have happened to you, because if it had not happened, then you wouldn't be acting this way.
That I wouldn't have this concern about it.
I'd say, well, it was a dream, and I should forget it.
And then I began to feel that something had happened, I wasn't sure what it was.
There was something more than what I could really, actually, truthfully say I could remember.
Doctor, now was she the only one you told your dreams to?
Betty, no.
I told my sister Janet.
217, I, L,
Doctor, how about your upstairs neighbor?
Betty, number doctor, did you tell anyone these dreams in Barney's presence?
Betty, I think he must have heard me talk about them.
Doctor, so he really did know about your experiences, didn't he?
Betty, he knew some of it.
I think he must have heard me saying something to somebody.
Doctor, didn't all these things that you feel happened, didn't they happen in your dreams?
Couldn't this all have been in your dreams?
Betty, number doctor, why do you feel sure of that?
Betty, because of the discrepancies.
Doctor, now tell me about the discrepancies that make it clear that it couldn't have been your dreams.
Now we know your supervisor told you it must have happened.
Up until then, you couldn't believe it.
Now after she told you that, you believed it happened.
What were the discrepancies?
You didn't know about the discrepancies because you couldn't remember about this experience, you told me.
Dietty, I knew what I had dreamed and that it was Diet rent.
This was D.
Turkenty.
Doctor, what makes the DIFIRNCC?
218, Betty, there's so much more.
And doctor, suppose that so much more had been parts of dreams that you couldn't remember?
One doesn't always remember all of his dreams.
Isn't that possible?
Betty, I don't know.
Doctor, in other words, the dream that you can remember did not have everything that you were able to tell me.
Is that right?
Betty, that's true.
Doctor, but if you were able to tell me all of your dream, including the part of it you couldn't remember, would that fit in?
Betty, no.
Because some things were different.
Doctor, some things were different.
Betty, yes.
Doctor, well, could it be then that when you remembered the dream, some things were different?
You just remembered differently because you were afraid to remember everything.
Betty, you mean in my dreams, I would be afraid to remember?
Doctor, no.
If you remember dreams, sometimes you forget parts of them.
Because you're fearful.
You know that, I think, from your own training as a social worker.
219, Betty,
Doctor, and yet there might be some parts of a dream that are misremembered, for the same reason.
Is that possible?
Betty, well, I dreamed in my dreams I walked up steps.
And here, I didn't walk up steps. I walked up a ramp.
Doctor, is that a very significant difference, do you think?
Betty, I don't know.
Doctor, the way you walked up?
Betty, but the map I could almost in here, she is referring to her recall under hypnosis when she says
in here, I could almost draw it.
If I could draw, I could draw Tihi map.
Doctor, you want to try to draw the map?
Betty, I'm not good at drawing.
I can't draw perspective.
Doctor, well, if you remember some of THs after ULE of me, why don't you draw it? Try to draw the map.
Don't do it if you feel concerned or anxious about it.
But if you do, bring it in next TME, Dieti, LRGHT?
I'll try to.
Doctor, but don't fail as if your compaged to do it.
Sometimes a post-hypnotic semicolon gestion can be very distressing.
The doctor is guarding against this by leaving it up to Betty's intuition.
220, Betty, okay.
Doctor, now what other discrepancies?
You mentioned the ramp and the stairs.
Betty, there's always so much more.
Here.
Again, here means under hypnosis.
Doctor, there's always so much more in what you've told me than there is in the dream.
Is that right?
Betty, yes.
Doctor, it could be that all that extra that you remember could be the part of a dream that you didn't remember.
Couldn't it?
Betty, no.
I don't think so.
Like Barney, she is unshakable.
Doctor, again, why don't you think so?
Betty, because I know that you can dream and not remember.
But doctor, how can you account in this experience for these men who seem to speak our language and yet didn't know a lot of things about it?
Like dentures.
And aging.
And things like that.
And you felt they came from another world, I take it.
Didn't you?
Betty, yes.
Doctor, then how would they know all about this?
How could it happen?
Have you tried to explain all this to yourself?
221. Betty, how could they speak English?
Doctor, yes.
How could this happen?
That they could communicate with you in this way?
And yet they were not of this world?
Betty, maybe they've been studying us.
Doctor, that would mean they would have to come here and know us, and everything else, wouldn't it?
Betty, yes.
And maybe they picked up some radio stations.
Doctor, but in a dream, this could all happen.
Things don't have to be explained in a dream. Did you feel that they could communicate with you in any other way than words? Were they able to transfer thoughts? B-E-T-T-Y, I don't know about thoughts. Doctor, do you believe that thoughts can be transferred? Betty, yes. To a certain extent. Doctor, have you been able to transfer your thoughts to anyone, or receive someone else's thoughts? Betty, Barney and I are always saying the same thing at the same time. That type of thing. Doctor, well, do you communicate in any other ways? Could you have communicated all this to Barney through thought transference? Betty, she laughs. 222, no. I don't know as I could believe to that extent. Like, sometimes I used to have a teacher in college, and I would sit in the front row, and I might be bored. I would sit there, and I would think, scratch your face, you know, scratch your leg. And then wait to see how long it would take him to do it. You know, play around like this. Doctor, then you wanted to see how much power there was in thoughts? Betty, yes. Doctor, but you had no such communication between yourself and these strangers? Betty, she pauses a long while, as if thinking this over. I don't know if I did hear them in English. Is she trying to please Dr. Simon by giving him the answer she thinks he wants? This is common in hypnosis. Doctor, oh? You didn't hear them in English? Betty, I don't know. Doctor, how do you think you heard them, then? Betty, I've been telling myself I heard them in English, with an accent. But I don't know. Doctor, well, did you hear them in any language? Or was it by thought transference? Betty, I knew what they were saying. Doctor, you knew what they were saying. 223. Betty, and they knew what I was saying. Doctor, as Betty begins to show signs of emotional strain. All right. This won't trouble you. You're all right. She is calm now. Well, do you think that was some form of thought transference? Betty, musingly. It could have been. But if it was, I knew what they were thinking. Doctor, you knew what they were thinking. You rather liked this leader, didn't you? Betty, I was afraid of him at first. Doctor, but afterwards? Betty, one you know began to feel that they weren't going to harm me. Doctor, so it all works out that you're not charmed, and everything is all right. Betty, yes. Doctor, all right, now. After this, it will not be necessary for you to forget everything that goes on here. But you will remember only that part that you can remember without being upset and without being worried and bothered. Do you understand? Again, as with Barney, Till's important step of permitting Betty to slowly filter into her consciousness the material she has revealed under hypnosis. 22-1, Betty, yes. Doctor, and it will not trouble you, any of it. As you go along, it will bother you less and less. And you will be able to remember those things that you can remember without anxiety and without fear. You will be able to talk more and more about it in that way. But, in the meantime, you will not be troubled by any of the things that you do remember. And gradually, it will come back more and more clearly. And you will talk about it more and more. Is that clear? Betty, yes. Doctor, you will have no fear, no anxiety. You'll be comfortable and relaxed, and we will continue to recall these things and discuss them together. You'll have no fear, no anxiety. I'll see you again a week from today. All right. Wake, Betty. You may wake. Betty wakes from her trance. How do you feel now? Betty, all right. Doctor, do you know more about what happened? Betty, yes. The doctor reassures her that she'll be all right, and plans are made for the appointment the following week. After the Hills had left, the doctor dictated his brief summary. There seemed to be indications that a great deal of the experience was absorbed by Barney Hill from Betty, in spite of his insistence that this was his own. And there are definite indications that her dreams had been suggested as a reality by her supervisor. The implications are self-evident, and it is planned now to continue these interviews at a more conscious level. Both of them appear to have been remembering more now after the sessions. 225, CH 8-10 by March 2nd, 8, the following Saturday, The recall of what had been taking place in the sessions had increased progressively on the part of both Bianne and Betty. Dr. Simon explored this aspect when the next session began. He spoke first with Betty before putting her in trance. "Doctor, do you recall much of your experience now?"
"Betty, yes, I think so. I've also had a couple of nightmares again."
"Doctor, is that so?"
"Betty, yes. And Barney's been having nightmares all week. He seems to have the feeling right now. We were talking about this last night, trying to figure this out. Are they going to come back?"
The doctor reviews Betty's dreams in detail, comparing them with the recall of what she feels is the actual experience, as revealed under hypnosis. The session continues with Betty now in trance.
"Doctor, you seemed in some ways to anticipate, in spite of your anxiety, to look forward to these men coming back and taking you on some adventures. Is that the way you feel?"
"226, Betty, frankly, I wouldn't be surprised to see them."
"Doctor, would you like to see them?"
"Betty, not right now."
"Doctor, not right now."
"When?"
"Betty, if I could get over being afraid. Right now I think I'd die of fright if I saw them again."
"Doctor, all right. This will not trouble you. You will, as during the past week, be able to remember more and more as you lose your fright, fear, and you will not recall any more than you can tolerate and live with. You will be relaxed and comfortable and have no anxiety, and your memory will continue to improve for everything as you can remember without anxiety. You will be comfortable and relaxed, no pain, no anxiety. You may wake now. How do you feel?"
"Betty, all right. Fine."
"Doctor, well, I'm going to see Barney, then I'm going to see the two of you together afterward."
"Betty, all right.
Doctor, do you remember what happened?"
"Betty, I think so, if I think about it."
"Doctor, you don't feel like thinking right now?"
227, Betty, laughs. "I could think about it, maybe, in about 5 minutes."
To both Barney and Betty, now that the doctor was permitting their revelations under hypnosis to filter back to consciousness, the strange experience became in their eyes a definite possibility. This in spite of Bianne's previous stout resistance to the whole idea of UFOs and Betty's dreams. To the doctor, much was unresolved, even though the Hills had resisted his challenges both in and out of hypnosis. By working with them consciously now, with only occasional periods of hypnosis as might be indicated, he hoped to achieve alleviation of their anxiety, which in spite of the mystery of the reality or non-reality of the abduction story, was the main purpose of the therapy. It was after this session that Betty gave the written dreams to the doctor to read. Of significance was the fact that these, too, were identical in detail both to the dreams she had just described, as well as her recall of the amnesic period under hypnosis. Barney's discussion on that morning of March 2nd reflected what had been going on in his mind during the week since Dr. Simon had instructed him that he could recall some of the material revealed in the trance state.
"Doctor, well, how've you been, Barney?"
"Barney, not bad, Doctor.
Very interesting. So many things I had to talk about all this week, and I was quite amazed, last week, particularly. It's interesting how I know these things I want to say, and the end when I get here I am not reluctant to discuss them, but I seem not to be able to put them in proper words. What I'm trying to say is that what I'm trying to say.
Doctor, I just can't seem to believe well. I'm just flabbergasted, if this is any explanation of flabbergasted 228, about what?
Barney, at what I remembered from our sessions last week.
Doctor, Barney, this business of seeing a UFO, an object, and personal contact with it seems to stretch my imagination as to the incredibility of the whole thing. Last Sunday, Betty and I were so concerned at this point that we made a trip up to Indian Head where we turned around and slowly drove back. And I said that what I shall do is whatever more or less my instincts direct me. Maybe I'm using the wrong term when I say instinct, these are the turns I will take. And we traveled just south of Northwoodstock where I made,
as if I had done this before, a sharp left turn onto Route 175.
Doctor, North Woodstock, you say?
Barney, yes. And I made a left turn at Route 175 from Route 3.
Well, it was during the daylight so things would look different in the day than they would at night, but we both were saying, gee, this looked just like something we'd seen before.
We had, to our conscious knowledge, never been in that particular area of New Hampshire, and there was a sharp right turn which would have carried us in a large circular drive toward a town called Waterville. What happened is that as we traveled a short distance, oh maybe 3 miles, we suddenly ran into a barricade, a barrier which would have indicated snows in the area. And in backing out we saw a fellow in the area that lived there, and I asked him about getting through. And he said not until the next month see and you get through there, that area it's snowed in. But to reach Waterville you could go and approach from another area, but it is a continuous road that circles around this, in this particular location. And, we are now determined to travel that road when the snows thaw, and it's negotiable. Now, these were some of the thoughts that went through my mind. Another thought that I thought of was that Betty will say, you don't accept or you can't, or are unwilling to accept things. And my answer to her is that it is not a matter of really accepting, but that I'm so flabbergasted by the entire thing that I find it difficult to accept it. I, 229, told her I wanted to ask you, what are the elements, what are the chances of a person hallucinating something? I want to know the answers to these things. There are peculiar things that happened with Betty and me that we had never discussed prior to coming here and being hypnotized by you.
Doctor, such as, what?
Barney, one is that the door of this thing that we went into had a bulkhead well, that may be the wrong thing to describe it but at the door jamb there seemed to have been an obstruction. And I tripped going, and I tripped coming back. And I mentally had the picture of the type of doors on naval crafts or ships at sea, the type of door that swings.
Doctor, have you been in the military service?
Barney, in the army, not in the navy.
Doctor, World War II?
Barney, World War II. And Betty realized that. And there was something else, too.
Doctor, she realized what?
That there was, NRBSTRECTION?
Barney, yes.
And there's so many THING else that disturbs us both. And TH is HDS to me GRE at Lee. M and Y times IWS tempted to call you, but that enemy CHNISM of MINE that causes me to fight them GS out, I guess, prevented me from disturbing you if it COLD have been prevent DK no NG you are busy. But Betty said that somehow now as he cannot be lie if she communicated with these creatures, if there had been these creatures, by word of mouth. And I was always aware that somehow there was something peculiar, with CH's THE absence of a mouth. And I had no, 230, doubts about getting out of my car, walking toward this large thing hovering in the sky and staring down at me. In my conscious mind, I always knew that this is what had actually happened. But then I would become confused when I said it would talk to me, or rather it had communicated something to me, and that was very frightening to me, and I ran, and I saw this through binoculars, 7x50 binoculars. So that next question would have been by someone hearing this is, what did they look like?
Doctor, do you always carry binoculars with you when you travel?
Barney, always in my car. I just always carry binoculars because Betty and I love traveling on weekends.
Doctor, it is relatively uncommon for people who are just traveling.
They usually carry cameras.
Barney, well, we also have a camera. But we didn't own a camera at that time.
Doctor, well, go on.
Barney, so that, I always knew that I had looked up at something. I had seen figures looking down at me. In what I thought was a smile by our conventional method of smiling with the lips going up. It was more of a twinkling or a recognizing an eye as being a part of the smile. I just can't remember any mouth.
Doctor, and,
Barney, I just can't recall any mouth. And in a faint way of hearing these things talking, which is very confusing to me,
It was like a mumbling when they were, when it was not anything addressed or directed to me. It was a mum, mumming type of a thing. Less than a mum, but more of a mmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmm